I'm sure all of us ate breakfast, and many of us have had lunch in the natural. It's time to get a spiritual meal today. Amen. I'm sure it is. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'm sure we've all read our Bibles this morning, perhaps, and but it's time for the evening meal so that Moses, please, come and bring the word, brother, and feed deeply.
Good afternoon, church. I don't have PowerPoint presentation today. One of the things I've discovered about PowerPoint presentation is that sometimes people are struggling to read what is up there and also follow what I'm saying, because sometimes they may not be connected. But also that oftentimes it helps people to get into that mood which kind of soothes them and helps their eyelids to fall in love, you know. Just begin slowly thanking the Lord for the creation, and you begin doing what in Africa we call dividing the land. You know how we divide the land? Okay, somebody begins saying, my land starts here and goes all the way there. So I don't want people dividing the land on me. So I hope nobody owns land here to begin dividing it. Okay, amen, amen, amen. Why then, if you own it, don't start dividing it here? Amen. We thank God that once again He has brought us into His presence. That particular day we spent time with Pastor Pat and we were discussing. And one of the characters of the Bible that we spoke about extensively was Joseph. And we shared and we talked and I shared perspectives, and Pastor shared perspectives, and we enriched each other's perspectives about the story of Joseph, and it spoke to each one of us as we applied it in different situations and circumstances of our lives. I remember, I think we talked for almost 2 hours, and Joseph must have constituted about 60% of that conversation. And after we finished speaking, you know, you really felt the Lord has a word for us in the story of Joseph. And how many of us sometimes feel, you know it all. You get to scripture, you read a story, you actually don't even read the details because this story I've read since I was young. We probably sang it in one of those little songs, you know, twinkle, twinkle, little star type of songs, you know, Mary had a little lamb, story type. And sometimes you just gloss over it. Because you think you've read it, and truly, many stories are probably overpreached. You know, every time you don't have anything to preach, they call you to preach. At least you can say something about some stories. You know, you can say something about the story of Joseph and his time in Egypt, and you go on and on and on, and you do your 20, 30 minutes or 1 hour, depending on how long you've been given, and then your time is over. But at the same time, the Bible tells us that whatever happened to these people was for us an example, was for us God's teaching. And the Bible says, in the past, God spoke in sundry times, in sundry ways. He spoke to different people in different ways. Today, He speaks to us through the Word, and thank God we have the Word. And because we have the Word, sometimes, you know, these things pass us very easily. Why am I saying this? I'm just saying this to say, even though we know the story of Joseph, and I'm not going to say anything that you haven't heard. No, everything I'm going to say you've heard, you probably have preached it somewhere yourself or shared it with people. The Lord will always have a message for us. A message in season, a word in time for the circumstance. But the Bible tells us of two types of people in the Bible. The first group of people were the Thessalonians, if I say that right. You know, it's a long word, okay? And depending on where you come from, you can say Thessalonians or... But the Thessalonian church, Thessalonica. And there was another church called Beroa. And the Bible says the Christians in Thessalonica were different from the Christians in Beroa. Why? Because the Christians in Thessalonica, whenever they went back home, they checked the scriptures to see whether what Paul had said to them was the way he had said it, or whether it was not true. But the ones of Beroa, they dismissed it. He said something, and because they hadn't read it, they didn't know it. And the Bible says the others grew more than these ones. And then the Bible again talks about two types of people. Those who had the word, and they mixed it with their faith. And those who had it, and did not mix it with their faith. Now, each one of us has a level of faith. Your faith and my faith are not at the same level. Each one of us has faith. But you take the word and you mix it with your faith. And oh boy, your stores explode.
That's right.
Because you took the word and applied it to your faith. Meanwhile, I could take the word. Fine. I mean, these things were hard. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So it's very important that as we hear the word, we mix it with our faith. That is my little introductory pep talk. And now we go to the story. And the story of Joseph, the best way to tell the story is just to tell the story. It's a long, long story. Today all I'll do is try to lay the context. And therefore you can be sure it's one of those days when I've given my shortest summons. It will be very brief. Just to lay the context. And then as we lay the context, we go home and we all dig up the story. And then next time we come, as I speak, we are enriching one another. And increasingly, yesterday, as Pastor Pat said, you know, I saw him walking, and I saw that he needed these tools to walk around. And I have a set of tools. And I have a very complicated set of tools here. When I put it on, I can read the word. But for as long as I have it on, I will not see you people. When I put it down, I will see you all very well. But then I can't see the word. So when it's important that I see the word, I'll put this tool on. And when it's important that I see you, I'll put this tool on.
Amen.
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 Let's join together in prayer. Father Lord, you are the one who gave Jacob 12 sons. But of the 12, you are the one who chose Joseph, one of the youngest, one of the least, and probably one of those that may have even been despised by his brothers. And yet he's the one you chose. And Father, you're the one who created each one of us. And you have chosen us. And inside each one of us is a dream, is potential, is the calling of the Lord, waiting for the perfect time and circumstance to be revealed. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that even as we share and discuss and learn from the story of Joseph, that Father, you will help to ignite that in us which has been waiting to blossom, to grow, to flourish, to be revealed, that we may serve you. And where we may have been slack in any way, that you will forgive us. But that you will give us the Holy Spirit to quicken our understanding and to help us to walk in your anointing. Lord, as we share this word, I surrender my mouth to you. I surrender my tongue to you. I surrender my expressions and body language to you, that all of them will honor you and give you glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the 37th chapter of Genesis, and we will be reading most of the of chapter 37 of Genesis. We'll do it slightly differently. I'll read some of the portions, and then sometimes I'll ask Pastor Pat to help us read. But the story begins this way. It actually begins with the birth of Joseph. If you go backwards in your scripture a little bit, and you get to the portion where Jacob is struggling with Jacob gets children in chapter 30. Verse 22. That's where the story of Joseph begins. Let's read that.
Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son.
The name Joseph means addition, an add-on, added, given more. So Joseph is born, and from the day Joseph is born, he's born into a special relationship with his father, with his parents, with the father and the mother. And when we go to chapter 37, Joseph, we rejoin the story of Joseph. He's grown. He's become a 17-year-old young man. And we all remember when we were 17, right? Anybody has forgotten what it was like to be 17? And, you know, we have people here who are in a hurry. You know, I'm sure Justin and Emmanuel and mommy are desiring to become 17. Oh my, it can't come soon enough. 17 is good, but they talk about 16 as being sweet 16. I don't know what 17 is. Is it sour 17 or what? Because all of a sudden reality begins to set in. And Joseph was 17 years old. And when he's 17 years old, he must do some chores. He must have some responsibilities. So I hope young men and women, you love chores. You do chores. The year before last year, I took my family back home. Back home in Uganda, where we came from, the country we came from. And there, I grew up on the farm. My parents are farmers. We keep cattle. My mother has all sorts of animals. And if you want to see a relationship between human being and animal, go and visit my mother. So please, if you have no place to visit in Africa, plan to come and visit my mom. She will sit down and she calls the chickens. She says, come. And they come. You see hundreds of them coming, running. And she feeds them from her hands and she loves it. Anyway, I took Emmanuel and the family. Emmanuel was what, 12, 13? And when we got home, one of the things that Emmanuel desired and I didn't know was to go with the herdsmen to look after cattle. to go and walk in the bushes with the cattle. And everybody say, don't know, he only arrived last night from the U.S. And come on, he arrived from the U.S. And if you're in Uganda and you arrived from the U.S., the place they send you is not the bushes. Anyway, Emmanuel says, I want to go. They ask me, I say, let him go. That's why he's here. He's here to learn. He's here to see the other part of the world. Anyway, he went. And they walked in the bushes. I don't think they had lunch the whole day. Walking behind animals which are eating. And then they came back home at 7 o'clock. And this is the one thing I remember. The young man reached, he was so exhausted, he threw down his sticks and he just fell in one heap and said, oh, now I'm a true Munyole man. You know. I come from a people called Munyole or Banyole, you know. So he says, now I'm a true Munyole man. I mean, he has got the experience. And I can imagine Joseph. He's gone looking after sheep. He's gone looking after flocks. He's gone looking after cattle. 17 years old. He's now beginning to feel like a young Jewish man. Ideas are forming in his mind. He's developing his dream. His character is being shaped. And he comes home back one day and his father calls him and says, son, come here. Dad, yes. Says, I want you to do some work for me. And he says, Dad, what? We'll come back to that point. Let's hold it there for a while. Before that, look at chapter 37. Read verse 2, please.
This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock of his with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father.
Let's stop there for a while. Here is a young man who goes out with his brothers, but when they come back home, if you've looked after cattle and you've been in those bushes, you know what those young men do out there. They do all sorts of things. Sometimes they just cause the animals to fight, the bulls to fight each other, and they're cheering and they enjoy it. And they come home and one bull, you know, has a torn body and they say, we don't know what happened. But they were encouraging the animals to fight. And they do all sorts of things. Sometimes they fight themselves. They say, we want to find out who will win. They fight. You know, that's how they grow up. That's how they keep their time. There's no television out there in the bushes. So there are no movies. When they came back home, what do they say? What you see in Virginia, live it in Virginia? Sorry? What happens if... Oh, I thought, I just wanted to find out if people are walking with me. What happens in Vegas stays where? And what happens in the bush stays in? But as soon as Joseph got home, he didn't stay there. Dad, do you know? 1, 2, 3, 4. And the Bible clearly says it was a bad report. It was not positive at all. I don't know whether there's anybody here who has had a bad report made about you. It could be to your parents. It could be your teachers. It could be your workers working for you. It could be colleagues. It could be your boss. And they've taken a pen and made a bad report. And how bad reports can destroy. I was speaking to somebody today, this morning, providing counsel. And I say to this person, you know, we live in a very delicate world, where information travels like this. It happens in Washington, D.C. now. 2 minutes later, everybody in China knows it. Everybody in Africa knows it. Everybody in India, Canada, And by the time you get there, the bad report has got there. And by the way, do you know that bad reports move faster than good reports?
Yeah.
They say good news, no news is good news. And good news is never news. That's why you're watching television and all you see is, if it's good, nobody will talk about it. How many times have you watched television and they're talking about this man who used to be a robber and now he has become a saint? That reminds me of a story. I'm told there were two brothers. And these two brothers were so bad. Probably you could compare them to the sons of Eli or the sons of Samuel, the prophet. I mean, that, those are some of the people the Bible really calls bad boys. And so these bad boys were so bad, they terrorized the community. Anyway, time came when one of them died. When he died, of course, they had to do a funeral. And because they were religious, the priest had to come and conducted the funeral. And so the brother went and spoke to the priest and said, please, please, say something good about my brother. Please. Please, let him go. Let him go with a good report. And the priest said, yes, I know, I will. Yeah. And so the priest stands up and he speaks and he tells how bad this boy was. And he tells the whole community knew anyway. And he says, you all know. And he says, but at least there was one good thing about him. His brother says, at least he honored my word. He's going to say something good. He says, at least he was better than his brother. But there was a bad report. So Joseph always brought a bad report.
Right.
And these boys knew. And I'm sure the trouble begins there. Parents, if we can be careful what we encourage our children to tell us, well, it is good for them to tell us good things. You know, they can be telling you things to make sure you hate the other one and love them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially Mama. Mama. You know, Mama? Then you give more cookies, eh? Or candy, or whatever it is you give. And the bad report increases. And that was the problem that Joseph had. And that's where the hatred between Joseph and his brothers begins right there. Let's read on. That's at chapter 37. Yes.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age.
Wait, let's stop it there. You have 12 children. Now, friends, it is very difficult to try and love all your children the same. And you know, children have very interesting psychology. And even if you try to love them all the same, they will always know. They say, because when this one does wrong, you reprimand them with a harsh voice. This one does wrong, you reprimand them with a softer voice. And you think they don't know. They will know. And so there was this man who had 3 children and he loved one more. And one day he had money just for 2 pieces of cake. But he wants his loved child to get more cake than the other 2. Of course, you all know what he did, right? What do you do if you're the one? So what he did, he bought 2 cakes, gave the 2 children he didn't like, and told each one of them to cut half and give to the one he liked. So the one he didn't like ended up with a full cake. The others ended up with half each. But they all knew they had given this one half. that got the fool, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to love all your children the same. And this was the problem that our father or grandfather Jacob had. But there was a reason that Jacob loved Joseph dearly. He had loved Rachel dearly. And if you want a woman to love you, love her children, right? And the book of Psalms says, if you love the one who gave the child, you love the child as well. Rachel had given Jacob Joseph. So Joseph loved him. Read the next part. Jacob makes it just more complicated.
But when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream.
No, before you get to that,
okay,
you left out a piece.
Oh, and he also made him a tunic of many colors.
As though it's not enough. Come on, this boy brings a bad report. Now he's being rewarded for the bad report he brings. We don't know whether he had ever made a tunic of many colors for any of the other boys.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
Well, the economy had improved, right? Maybe they finally had more income. And so, you know, the children that are born later usually have it easier because somehow the income has improved, increased. And, you know, I wouldn't want Esther and Joshua to be discussing how we started because those that are born later usually things are a little better, right? And they tend to get away with much. They ask for certain things and somehow you... And this is what was happening. Now, the boy brings a bad report. He's loved more. Everybody knows he gets the biggest share of the food every day or whatever it is. He never gets blamed for anything. And number three, now they give him a coat of many colors. Let's go on. Let's go on.
But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him.
Now hatred is beginning, but also the peace. Now they're becoming more aggressive. In the past, they were just silent. You see, it happened in Vegas. We shall sort it out in Vegas. But now it has come home. And we're not going to take it lying down. You know, this country gives us very many gifts, right? I think there's one other place which says fight back, right? Fight back, eh? Fight fire with fire or something like that. Right? So they say we are going to fight fire with fire. You bring a bad report and spoiling our names, we are going to spoil your name. We will do it physically. They spoke harshly to him, not peaceably. And the family now is beginning to get challenges. Let's go on. It just gets worse. It just gets worse.
Now Joseph had a dream.
Oh. How many of us have a dream? What type of dream do you have? Let's go in with a dream.
And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more.
Even more? First of all, did he have to tell them the dream? I mean, they already hate him. And then he gets a dream. I mean, a dream is something you get in the night when you're sleeping all by yourself. If you never speak your dreams, nobody will ever know.
Right.
And I told you the other day, I was reading the book of Daniel, and you know, men are men, right? You dream, then you call other people and say, tell me what I dreamt, and tell me what it means. You're the one who dreamt it. You want us to tell you what you dreamt, and then tell you what it means. But men are men, and kings have power. That's how powerful Nebuchadnezzar was. Anyway, so Joseph has a dream, and what is the dream? Yes, he had a dream.
So he said to them, please hear this dream.
Please hear this dream. Come on, you guys. It's not enough. Let me rub it in a little bit more, okay? Let's go.
There we were,
There we were.
Binding sheaves in the field.
These guys are not even binders of sheep. They are cattle keepers. They are looking after sheep and cattle. Okay?
Then behold, my sheep arose and also stood upright.
Wow.
And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheep.
You guys, there were, binding up sheaves. Each one of us had one. And mine stood up. And yours also tried to stand up, but they bowed. Bible says, and they hated him even.
And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words.
Now, they hated him now for two things. For his dreams and for his words. Friends, they say silence is golden. What do you share and how do you share it? And with whom do you share it? I don't know about you, but I know situations where I have shared something with somebody, with all the confidence, in love, shared with Christians.
Help us. Help us.
And the next very moment, my trust has been shredded before me. Right. What do you share? And who do you share it with? I tell young people, I struggle. I tell young people, and I have very many young people in my household, so I don't need to look for an audience. I have it right there. Beware and be careful about social media. What you say and do on Facebook, didn't the Bible say it will be done in secret, it will be announced on mountaintops? These are mountaintops.
Right.
People are waiting for a big mountain Everest to stand up and then they announce things. This internet is a mountaintop.
Right.
You say today, you go on. And you know, for some reason, everybody wants to be on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they do. Come on, I slept with my eyes closed on Facebook. I walked, my two legs were walking, the left went fast on Facebook.
Right.
I mean, I'm not undermining Facebook. Facebook is great.
Right.
I am on Facebook. But boy, girl, what do you put on Facebook?
Right.
It will come back to haunt you.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the time you reach 17, you will not remember what you did when you were 14. And oh my, how you will wish you never put it on Facebook.
Right.
Young man 17 has a dream. And he takes it to Facebook. Or is it MySpace? Or is it LinkedIn? And he says, listen, everybody, come. Go on the internet now. Make a connection. Go on Yahoo. I had a dream. Let's move on. It just gets worse, brethren.
Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
Let's stop there for a while. I don't want to fault Jacob. There were no parenting classes then. And even if there were, I have never gone to a parenting class. And not all parenting classes will tell you the real things you need to know about parenting.
Right.
Who knows? Parenting, the best experience is in the situation.
Right.
No two situations are ever the same, right?
Right.
The boy says, "Come, everybody listen. I had another dream." They have already got angry about the first dream. He gets a second dream. He still comes and tells it to them. I mean, once is enough. Twice is a habit, man. And now it's not just you brothers. Even you, mom and dad. The moon and the sun were all bowing before me. At that stage, the brothers had made up their minds. We can't take this anymore. But we all have dreams. And it's good to dream dreams. Jacob, as a father, he just rebukes him for one thing. "You mean your mother and myself will bow before you?" He does not warn this young man that this type of talk could put you in danger with your brothers. Not everybody who smiles when you give a testimony is smiling. Bible says he keeps it in his mind and he notes it, but he doesn't help this young man to know that some of these dreams you need to keep to yourself. Now, I'm not discouraging people from sharing testimonies. That's not what I'm saying. Young people, I'm not saying don't tell us your dreams. But messages should be delivered in love and with a certain degree of sensitivity. The debate and the discussion about same-sex marriages, homosexuality, etc., etc., can be so, what is the word, so sensational that sometimes messages are delivered without any form of love from both sides and sensitivity. The discussion around abortion, when you listen, can be delivered, yes, the Bible says, give the word as is. But he also says, the letter kills. But love builds up, binds together. It can be so. Yesterday I was listening to a political conversation of how the economy is performing. Oh, sometimes you ask yourself, do I have to be listening to this? And people talking about people like they don't have a soul. How do we deal with each other when there is a fault? If there was a problem in the church, how I have seen pastors torn to pieces because they had failed in one aspect. I think it was Maurice Serulo, if I remember well, or was it Oral Roberts, one of those great men of God who said, he has never seen an army that kills and destroys its wounded soldiers like the church. Because this man has failed, they lacerate him, they cut him to pieces and crush him like he has never counted in life. The way we deliver messages and dreams. And I know that we who stand in the pulpit and preach, oh, how we have a problem. Because when you have a captive audience of 10,000 people and 1 million or 10 million or is it 100 million viewers on television, the power and pomp is there, right? And how sometimes it's very easy to forget to sift your message. But at the same time, how easy that same message can bring you down in one day. Now, not here to preach to politics, but this is the truth. And so Joseph, this is the context. Now, in that circumstance, I don't know by arrangement, Jacob says to Joseph, you're going to stay home. This time you're not going to go with your brothers to look after cattle or sheep, the flocks. They go. There were no cell phones then. And there were no radio calls. So the boys have been gone for days. And then Jacob doesn't know how they're faring. He doesn't even know whether they have food. He doesn't even know whether they have lost any of the animals. And there were marauding armies of Midians and Philistines that always came and raided those animals. And he doesn't know. So he sends to his brother, to his son, come here, my son. Now I have an assignment for you. Go and find out. Let's read on. And we'll be finishing shortly. Don't worry.
Then his brothers went to feed the father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. And he said to him, here I am. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams.
Let's stop there for a while. What an assignment. Are there times when you feel the Lord is giving you an impossible assignment? Jonah knows God is gracious. Jonah knows God is loving and forgiving. For sure, this God, he will forgive these people. But Jonah wishes to see these people destroyed. And wonderful Jonah, God says to him, go and preach to the city of Nineveh. Jacob says to Joseph, go and check on your brothers. I don't know what was going on in Joseph's mind. My assumption is a teenager, 17 years old, they feel indestructible. They don't often think about the consequences. And they are quick to remind you how they're in charge of their lives, and they know. But you know they are vulnerable. Parents, I'm sure you know this. Say, I know you're vulnerable. And even though you think you are not, the things I see that you can't see. But they'll be quick to tell you, I know, I'm in charge. I have enough experience, I've dealt with this. Amen. And the young man goes, and he's going to find out what is happening to his brothers. The brothers have been discussing him. And when he comes, they don't see a brother anymore. They see a dreamer who doesn't deserve to live. I don't know what people see when they see you. But each one of us, there are people who look at us and they see certain things. And they hear certain things. And while you are thinking in a particular way, they are thinking in a particular way. And this is what happens to Joseph. His father sends him there, but his brothers don't see a brother. They don't see the love the brother is bringing. They don't see the package. They don't even wait to ask him, why have you come? They don't. They don't give him an opportunity to express himself. Are there times when you have felt you were not even given an opportunity to express yourself? When you wanted to say certain things and nobody seemed to hear you? Or when your voice did not count. It could be in a family. It could be at the workplace. And your voice does not count. And this is exactly what was happening to Joseph. Here comes the dreamer. Let's take him and let's kill him. And we will say, an animal has eaten him. Long story short, we all know. They catch him. They throw him in a pit. They kill a goat. They get the skin of the goat. Does that begin to speak to you something? They get the skin of the goat. They take to their father, Jacob. Jacob, do you remember how you dressed in the skins of a goat and went and stole the blessing? Dressed in the skins of a goat? This same skin of a goat represents your dead son. When Jacob saw that, he said, I'll go to my grave, a miserable man. Two people stand out. And let me speak about these briefly. Actually, three, and then I finish. Look at verse 21. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hand. Look at verse 26. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Two people, Reuben and Judah. And we will be meeting Reuben and Judah with time. But Reuben stands up and says, let's not kill the young man. He planned to rescue him. And Judah says, what shall we gain? Both of them wanted to save his life. Are there people who have stood up for you one way or the other? And we remember to say thank you. And there may be people who stood up for us. You all know this story that we has been going on the internet. Paid for by a glass of milk. Anybody heard about that? The story of a young man who left school and there was a storm. And the storm was so bad that he had to take shelter somewhere. And he knocked at the door of the house that was closest to him. And some old lady opened the door and let him in. And because he was wet and shivering, she brought him a warm glass of milk. And the boy took the glass of milk, noted the name of the lady, and noted the address, and left. But he was a medical student at university. It didn't take long before they brought in a lady in the hospital where he worked who had a complication. And the bill grew. And the bill grew. And when finally the lady was released from hospital, when the bill was brought, it had a note on top, paid for by a glass of milk. This same boy had become a doctor. And when he saw the lady and saw the bill, he paid it. And when the lady saw it, it was so powerful. Reuben and Judah, big brothers standing up for young brother, right? Small brother. Are there times when the Lord is calling upon us to stand up for somebody? They may be people we don't like. They may be people we don't know. They may be people who we would rather let go. But the Lord says, stand up. Reuben and Judah, they wanted to rescue him. The third person I want to talk about as I finish. Joseph is looking for his brothers, but he can't find them. They are gone. It's a desert. And the Bible says he was wandering around. And a man finds him and asks him, what are you looking for? Who was this man? Who was this man? A man shows up in the desert and finds you wandering. I don't know whether there's anybody here who has wandered. But in an economy like this one, if you haven't wandered, I have wandered. You may be wondering, I mean, if you are going to go to bed at 5 a.m. That's wondering, right? If you don't know what is going to, where your next meal is going to come from, that is wondering. If you're not sure, you know, there was a time when progression in the job was, you start off as an intern, you become a junior clerk, you become a clerk, you become a senior clerk, you become a principal clerk, you become And then eventually you become an executive. These days, it is not like that anymore. In many places, people wonder. There was a time when once somebody left university, graduation was, the next thing was the dream. They'll get a car, they'll get a job, probably a government job. They are off to a great start. You knew when young men would leave home. Once they finish university, they are going to leave home. Today, they come back home. Joseph was wondering. But let's forget about the physical wondering. What about wondering in the mind? The wandering mind. I don't know whether anybody here has a wandering mind. I do have a wandering mind. Sometimes you're on your knees, and oh my goodness, when you're supposed to be focusing on the Lord, you're being reminded that you haven't paid your bill, and your mind focuses on that one for a while, right? It could be something else. And a man shows up. Oh! There is a man who will always show up in your life. There is a man who knows where you are wandering from. There is a man who knows what you are going through. There is a man who knows the difficult situation you are experiencing. He is going to show up. A man showed up. A man shows up and asks, what is happening to you? There is a man here. The man who is asking each one of us, why are you wondering? Even right now, your mind may be wondering. And the man is asking, why are you wondering? I really believe this man was the Lord. That's my conviction. Why? Because the man shows up and he even knows what the brothers were discussing. I heard them say they've gone to this side. And Joseph goes there and finds it exactly the way he was told. Brethren, the Lord will show up in our situation. It may look difficult. It may look impossible. It may look complicated. I believe the Lord will show up. And my prayer is, Lord, show up. Lord, show up in my situation. I'm wondering, Lord. I need help. I don't know where to go. And the wondering is in many places. In the faith. In the church. You don't know what to believe anymore. A very celebrated leader of one of the biggest Christian churches in the world, the other day said, we don't even know if Jesus really died. Economically. Socially. Family units are not holding anymore. Marriage used to be the most beautiful thing anybody would have. Marriages are not holding anymore. The Bible says disobedience and rebellion will increase. And haven't we seen that? Children disobeying their parents like this. That a man will show up. And my prayer is that for each one of us as we leave this place, this man will show up. Amen. And find us in that place of wondering, in that place of uncertainty, where we've lost that confidence, where we've lost the experience and the knowledge, and where things are not as obvious anymore. And this man will show up. In our situation. Join me as we pray. Join me as we pray. We want to pray that this man will show up. If you don't mind walking to the front here. And let's just take a few minutes. I know time is far spent, but let's take a few minutes to just to pray. When things are so difficult, when things are so complicated, when nothing is so obvious anymore, when nothing is so clear anymore, when you have walked into a situation where your own life is in danger. This young man had walked into his death. You could blame him. You could blame his parents. There are times when you'll blame yourself. We'll blame each other. We've been blamed. You've blamed others. We've blamed each other. But if we can only pray that God will send us a man, why don't we just lift our hands to the Lord and just raise your voice, each one of us. And let's just call upon the Lord. Let's just ask the Lord. You know your situation best. You know, I don't know, but let's just call upon the Lord. Let's call upon the Lord and say, Father, show up for us, O God. Father, show up for us, O Lord God. May that wandering man come, Lord God. Come and find us in our wandering, O God. In our falling astray, in our going astray, in our backsliding, in our failure, in our challenges, in our difficulties and complications. Father, may you have mercy upon us. Father, may you have mercy upon us. Father, may you have mercy upon us and send us the man. Send us the man, Lord God of glory. Send us the man, God. Send us that man, Father. Send us the man. Send us the man. Father, we need the man, Lord. Father, send us the man. Send us the man. Let him come and rescue us. Let him come and deliver us. Let him come and save us, O God. Let him come and show us the way, Father. Father, send us the man. Send us the man, O God. Father, we need you. Father, we need you. We need you in our circumstances, O God. We need you in our children, O God. We need you in our marriages, O God. We need you in our spouses, O God. We need you in our job situations, O God. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Send us the man. Send us the man, O God. Father, send us deliverance. Let's call upon the Lord. Maybe our dreams, maybe our words have hurt people. Our words and our dreams may have hurt our loved ones. And we may have known it, we may not even have known. But let's call upon the Lord that He will forgive us. Father, may you forgive us where our words and our dreams have hurt other people, Lord God. Where we've spoken carelessly, Lord, and we've left others broken and wounded. Forgive us, O Lord God. Forgive us, Father. Where we have caused others to suffer, forgive us, King of Kings. Forgive us, Lord of Lords. Forgive us, God of glory. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord God. Ask Pastor Bill to close for us.
Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us, Lord, with your holy presence. Lord, thank you, Lord, for promising to be that man that shows up as we wander in the wilderness. Thank you, Lord, for leaving your promise with us. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your will upon us, Lord, and letting us know your will. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Moses for sharing your word with us. Thank you for Pastor Pat for leading us in worship today. Thank you, Lord, for pouring your blessings upon the people of this church, Lord. Continue to pour your will upon us, Lord. Pour your blessings upon us, Lord, and let us go forth into this world, Lord, to carry your blessings with us, Lord, to give to other people in this world, and let them know that no matter what the circumstances, there is hope, and that hope is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. So next week, we look forward to go further in the study on